And you come to the chapel, and you see your brothers and sisters in Christ, and he just sort of sets all that stuff to the wayside, sort of resets your focus. Just being with you guys, just sort of, it's almost like a relief, just to be able to come out of the world and come here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just was thinking about that today. I want to share that with y'all. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 3. I've been looking at this passage and been trying to... I'm getting a little... trying to figure out what's going on in the passage, and I read it and tried to understand how I was going to convey some of this to y'all, and I hope that it'll help y'all as we go through tonight. I'm going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful once again for the opportunity to come together as the body of Christ, to come apart from the world, Father, to be in fellowship with you and with one another, and that knowing that this is a place where Christ is exalted, and we just thank you for going to the cross of Calvary for us. And I just pray that you would take my words, Father, and use them to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, also to build up my brothers and sisters in Christ, that it would help them to be stronger, and that you would use the Holy Spirit to convey this message to them, and that you would hide me behind the cross and give me just strength to get through the message, and that it would be boldness coming from you and not from a man. And I just thank you once again for your Son. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. So, you know, as we've been talking about through Galatians, it's been a lot of tearing down of folks because they've been falsely led into believing that, you know, about works versus faith. And once again, Paul is hammering this again, and he's going to talk to us some more. And so what he's going to talk about, some of the things we're going to be talking about tonight, is we're going to be talking about the law again. We're going to be talking about a promise that was made. And we're going to talk about faith. And so let's start reading there in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, or are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Now I was thinking of this passage, and I was looking at various commentators, and they were talking about that this one that has bewitched them would be Satan. And I was trying to think of the Satan would love for us to believe that faith comes by the law. He would love for us to think that following the law is somehow going to make everything right with God. But truth be known, that ain't the case. And he says it here, have you received the Spirit by the law or by hearing of faith? Have any of you received the Holy Spirit because you kept the law? No one has. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? We're not made perfect by the law. We are made perfect by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying that, you know, these folks actually seeing Christ, whose eyes Jesus has been evident set forth, crucified among you, they actually had a, there were those that had a first-hand knowledge that Jesus Christ was crucified for them. They were there and actually saw it. And we go by faith and understanding that Christ died for our sins. But Satan would want us to believe the law, that the law is the way to go. He wants us to be thinking that if we keep the law, that somehow it's going to make things right with God. And he's, the scripture says that he is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And he thinks that if the law is something that we try to keep, then what, where do you get the ability to keep the law? From yourself. From making a decision to either follow the law or not. So that means you're empowering yourself to keep the law if you do it that way. But where if you do it by faith, you're empowering God saying, this is because of God that I have faith. This is because of God that I have salvation. Not because of anything I did, but because of what he did. Now, how do we define faith? Well, the scripture, the definition of faith is a confidence or trust in a person or thing. And number two is a belief that is not based on proof. Now, we don't have first-hand proof of what happened except from what the scripture says. And these folks were there firsthand. So that is our proof as to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ lived, the Lord Jesus Christ dwelt among us, he taught us, and he died for us. That's the first, that's our proof that we have. But we haven't ever seen him, but we do have faith in him. Even though we've never met him and we weren't at the cross and we didn't see it firsthand, we have to have faith in what happened that day at Calvary. And that's what we do. We have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have confidence or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we put our faith in a lot of earthly things. And you can think of the day y'all drove here in the car, and I'm sure y'all went out to the car and got in there and you started the ignition and it started right up, didn't have any problem. And say every time you get up in the morning, you go out to your car faithfully and it's supposed to start, right? But then there's that day where it doesn't start, you know, and then you're like, oh great. So then you're late for work. Then you got to go see a mechanic. Okay? So earthly things, we can't have faith in them always. I mean, we can't. We can't have faith in them, period. The chairs y'all are sitting in today, I don't know, there's a couple of chairs, I think we've removed them, just for safety reasons, is the chair's been falling out. But you assume you come in here with faith saying, hey, we're going to come in here and sit in these chairs and we're going to be perfectly fine. But you don't know for sure. There might be a day you come in here and sit down in a chair and you'll be laying on the floor. So you can't put your faith and trust in earthly things. Okay? They can let us down. Whew. And Paul is repeating again a little bit more of what he said. And he says, he's therefore that ministers to you by the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Does he it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Now, I was thinking about this, you know, and we talked about the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit. We haven't received the Holy Spirit because of the law. Okay, then works miracles among you. Now, when is the last time that maybe you had some ordeal in your life? Okay, maybe somebody had cancer. Maybe your car did break down. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you couldn't make the bills completely that month. How many people go and say, man, if I'd have kept the law, my car would be running perfectly fine. You know, if I keep the law, my car is going to get fixed. If I keep the law, this person won't be sick anymore. Nobody ever says that. But when something tragic happens to you, if you're like me, the first thing you knew is you fall on your knees and you thank the Lord for this situation. And people say, what are you thanking the Lord for a situation like that for? And it's because we get stronger because we go through trials and tribulations. If we go through life, no problems or anything, then we're going to be some pretty wimpy people. Okay? We won't be able to take any strong blows. Okay? But when something comes along and God works a miracle in your life, it's because of the faith you have in Him and you pray to Him and you ask Him to come and help you with the situation because you have faith that He's going to help you with it. If it's not the case, then when we come in Sunday and we do prayer requests, then that means that we're wasting our time. But I don't believe that's the case. I believe that God hears our prayers. And I believe that He wants to heal those that are sick. And I know He wants to help us find jobs. And I believe He wants the best for us because we're His children. And we have to have faith in that so the world doesn't overcome us. And we start going along thinking that, you know, we got to do this on our own accord. No, we need to do it on Christ's accord. We need to do it on what He wants us to do in our life. And He's the one that we need to be dependent in. Alright. And that, verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now ye therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Those that are of the faith are the same as the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So back when Abraham came on the scene, and he, you know, I believe everybody's familiar with the covenant, and God came down and He said, you know, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Because of Abraham, faithfulness to God and believing Him, God accounted it to him for righteousness and believed Him. So one of the first instances was we see somebody being made righteous or accounted as righteous, did it based on faith. He did it based on faith. He didn't do it based on the law. So, and we're going to read that because he does go over this a couple of times through the passage, but he's going to take it a step further in a minute and we'll talk about that and see. So, but the law, you know, really hasn't done, it's not really for the purpose of doing anything but making me look at a mirror and say, hey, Johnny Al is a sinner. And is there, you know, where am I going to get hope? Where am I going to get salvation? I mean, I can't pay for those sins. I can't keep the law. And somebody's like, well, you know, I'll keep the law. No, you don't. Because that's probably, you know, that's a lie. People can sit in a room concealed from everybody with nothing, no devices, and this mind and this flesh of ours will have us sinning in a heartbeat. And that's why it's important that we make sure our faith is based on Christ and not the things of the world. But Abraham was the first with the faith. He believed God and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So initially there was a faith that was going on there. So, you know, I was looking at Luke 18, and this is a picture of these two men, and everybody's familiar with the passage. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee was saying, look at what I did. I'm not an extortioner. This is what I've done. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not unjust. I do what I'm supposed to do. I give my money. I fast. These are what he did. Okay? But the publican understood that the only way you were going to be forgiven was if the faith was in God and that God did it. Not because of what he did, but because of what God did. And that's important that we know that this is coming from God and not from man. And so today it was interesting that I went to go give blood. And make sure you take some chicken livers and eat them before you go, because if your iron level's low, they won't let you give blood, but I'm sure y'all knew that. But we got up there and I started sitting down with this lady, and we just, for some reason, we started talking about church. And she was talking about, where you go to church at and who's your pastor. And I said that, I was going to be sharing a message tonight. And she looked at me and she says, are you an ordained minister? And I said, no. And she was like, well, it was sort of like, as soon as I said no, it was like, what are you doing speaking? It was a law that some group of people came along and said, it's not good enough that the Bible, leads men to be elders and then lays on the hearts of the elders who they have that they would, feel like are led to speak. That's in the scripture. But then when I started to explain, a plurality of leadership, it was just like, okay. Yeah, it was just like, okay, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah. And then I had to go into, I was saved at such and such time. I was baptized. And when I said baptism, that was like, oh, okay, you good. You're good. So it was like that there was something there that was a friction or something, and it was because of a rule set up by a certain group of people that would be, that in a way would be their set of laws that they start judging people by. Well, you go to a church that, doesn't have an ordained minister, so, you're condemned to hell, No, that's not the case. Because we're not basing our salvation on those set of rules. We're basing our salvation on our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Alright. In verse 10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. We're not believing a faith that's based on the law. We are believing a faith that is based on the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us. Okay? So, excuse me. Can we, I'm just going to go back in here in a minute. Let's see. Can we do that? Can we keep the law? And of course, we've already discussed it, and Paul's discussing it again, so we're discussing it again. So if y'all have a problem, y'all can talk to him when you get to eternity about it. But in Romans 3, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then in verse 19, it says, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, once again, we see here in this verse that every mouth may be stopped. And what that means is, and this is what happened when I got saved. Somebody told me about my sin. No, he didn't give me a book on the Ten Commandments. He told me about my sin. And my jaw dropped. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Where is my hope? Because at that point in time, I didn't have any hope. All I had was this guy telling me that I was a sinner. And he was a young brother himself, so I wanted to go to somebody that was a little more seasoned, so I went to see Jerry Denny. And so, but the law was that sent to me by this young brother to tell me I was a sinner. So it would shake me up, rattle me up, say, Johnny, wake up, you're a sinner, you need help. Okay. And then in verse 13 it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ redeemed us with his blood. He took our cross. That wasn't his cross. That was our cross. We belong there, not him. It was bad enough that Jesus had to die, but on the cross that was set up for criminals, that was fit for criminals back then. The Son of God was hanging on a tree that was meant for criminals. And he was holy and blameless at that. And there he hangs on the cross for sinners. And in that song we read tonight, it says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, whose wounds for me shall plead. That's where our faith should be. Always. And I know y'all are going, well, Johnny, we're Christians. We're saved here. We know this. But I'm sure the Galatians knew it too. And Paul's still giving them this message. I wonder why it is. Maybe it's so we won't go around and say, well, you go to a church that don't have elders, I guess you're going to hell. Or I guess you're not doing this, I guess you're going to hell. Because then it gets to the point where you started a law, a whole other set of laws. So Paul's warning us that this can happen. This, you know, we're thinking, man, but why is he preaching it to them? Why is he preaching it to them? Because, I mean, he says, you guys, how did you receive the Spirit? So my assumption would be these guys are believers. And for somewhere along the way, they got sidetracked. And Paul's giving them the word. Now, in verse 15, it says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, I might have to say that again, because my brain just went, whoa. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. So God made a promise to Abraham, and he's going to keep that promise. Okay, and what he's saying is that 430 years later, when the law actually came out, that's not changing anything about that promise. That promise is a done deal. He made the promise to Abraham, and he's going to keep it. So if he's making a promise and it's a done deal, then the promise that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a done deal too. Because when God makes promises, he keeps them. But here, you see once again, the promise was made before the law was given. And that didn't change anything about what went on with Abraham. They couldn't say, well, you know, we know that there was a promise made a long time ago, but you know, you're not keeping the law, so that promise is null and void. That's not going to happen now. Sorry. Too bad. No, that ain't the way God does it. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. What purpose is there for the law? It was added because of transgressions. And we've already discussed it some. It was in part to point out the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever thought about it. I think they still have it. I don't know. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But I believe they had the Ten Commandments still in Wentworth, posted downstairs. They did have it in a big frame. And they had, like, the Ten Commandments. They had, I think, the Mayflower Compact and a couple of other things. And I was sitting here and you hear about these different cities where they want to put up the Ten Commandments. And, you know, at first I'm thinking, you know, we're under grace. We're under mercy. Why are we having a war over trying to put the Ten Commandments in a public place? And so this is the question I'm bringing out, okay? So y'all probably said, Johnny, you don't know what you're talking about. They need the Ten Commandments there. But after I was thinking, I was like, they need it. There's so much controversy because they don't want, it's not about the Ten Commandments. It's about what they mean. It means that God is real because he gave the Ten Commandments. It means there's a set of rules that God expects us to live by. And then it also reminds them that they can't keep those rules. And that they need a Savior. And the problem with the world is, what is it? Let's see, that the men love the darkness rather than light. The world loves the darkness rather than light. They don't want to have anything that's going to light up the way and say, you know, this is the Ten Commandments being a pointing sign to go to the cross. They don't want anything in the public square that's going to say, hey, you need a Savior. So it's not just about, you know, somebody not murdering and not lying and not, it's not about those laws. It's about the bigger picture that the world does not want something in the public square that's going to tell them they need a Savior. They don't want that. And so, you know, after I'm sitting there trying to figure this out, this thought in my brain, I'm sitting here going, yeah, we need the Ten Commandments in the market square. We need people to know that they need a Savior. We need them to know that. And that's what the purpose of the law was. Okay. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now God made the law, right? Now, if there was a law that was going to make us righteous, he would have been the one to put it in place. But that ain't the case. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So it's not of a law. That's not going to give you no righteousness. It is by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says here in 23 that, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. So there was a purpose of that law during that period of time where we didn't know, they weren't aware of Christ yet. There was a purpose of that law. And it says here in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that, faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, when I was reading the New Living Translation portion of this, it referred to the schoolmaster as a guardian. Now, in the adoption process with the government, they have somebody that they call the guardian ad litem. And this person is appointed, this is supposed to be like a third party person that is not involved with the parents, the adopted parents, with anybody. Their only concern is the welfare and the safety of the child. Okay? So the safety, the law was given as a safety mechanism to try to keep us to keep the law, to try to keep us from killing each other and lying to each other and to do this, to prepare us for a day when the adoption would be finalized. And the adoption is going to be finalized when the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one that finalized the adoption. There is no greater joy. I'm going to tell you, when we had to wait 2 years for, I think it was Nathan. I think he was the one we waited the longest for. So, I mean, hey, I got to give perks to the lady folks that have these children because, you know, 9 months with that, that's good. But it's just some sort of psychological thing with adopting where it's like, man, you know, are these going to be our kids or are they going to come back and get them? You know, and then you'd had this lady and she would come, the guardian ad litem, she'd come in our house. Make sure we was feeding them right. Make sure we wasn't beating the tar out of them and making sure we were doing right by them. And eventually we came to that day where we're in the courthouse and they finalized that adoption. And what joy it was. What joy. And y'all say, man, John, you know you ain't meaning that. Because you know there's some days where they wake you up in the middle of the night and you're tired and don't want to hear it and this, that, and the other. Or, they go doing something at the house and you get mad at them. Now I wouldn't trade them for all the tea in China. I love them children. And it's just a blessing that day when you hear the judge say, the adoption is finalized. And that's what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God in heaven, the adoption is finalized. The adoption is finalized. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 26, it says, for ye are all the children of God. They've been adopted because they trusted Christ by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I was thinking about a passage when I was thinking about this passage in, you know, there was a point in time that I could imagine somebody actually envying the nation of Israel and saying, hey, they got a true God. They have a true God. And then to hear this verse, it's just like, it ain't they anymore. It ain't they. We were Gentiles. In the Old Testament sense of the way, we were dogs. There was no hope for them guys. There's no hope for them. They're so low bottom of the totem pole that God just, He doesn't even care about them. If you look at Matthew 15, and y'all are familiar with this passage. Matthew 15:21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. That's what we're doing. That's what the Gentiles got. We're eating from the crumbs of the master's table. It said the Lord Jesus Christ came to his own and they received him not. So then he broadened the scope. He said, I'm going to broaden it. My own people won't even accept me. I'm going to broaden it. I'm going to open it up to everybody. And everybody that accepts my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be saved. It's not just for Jews or Gentiles. It's not just for men or women. It's not just for slaves or free men. It's made for everyone. And so all are now able to have a common faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God would also keep his promise to Abraham by the way of the cross. Thank you.